The little old lady reel.
Yeah. This is where there's the big knock at the projection booth door with the umbrella handle.
Young man, what do you think you're doing up there? You're going to blast orders out.
I think it would be reasonably extreme. You know?
It goes from, even the pass-by shots go from no sound to loudest sound you ever heard to no sound within the same shot.
Well, see what you can do with it. And see what happens.
Ready? Set? Here. Yours ready. Kind of starts quietly. Uh-huh.
It's almost like this bulbous sound should be, I mean, it can go up and down, but it should always be there. Now it's there when you see it, it's not there when you don't. But you want to build that tension of the fact that it's right on his tail there, and if you don't hear it, you don't really get the sense that it's right there all the time, and it's going to eat him up.
Yeah.
You know, and if anything, that giant sound should be getting bigger and bigger during the whole thing as he's, struggling to stay ahead of him.
It's a nice rhythm.
Because that's the thing that you're afraid of, is the fact that that guy's just going to push him.
Yeah.
You know, the engine's going to come right over and right into his head.
It's come a long way over the last 2 years, that little sequence.
It's not a little sequence
episode number 392. Blast Points is Jason.
And this is Gabe.
Welcome, everyone, to Pod Race Month.
A movie is a kinetic art. It has to do with movement more than anything else.
Stop your engines!
I know that George has an interest in racing from when he was a little younger. That has come over into this picture. That we have this tremendous race scene.
Well, I've loved cars ever since I was little. And I got involved in racing cars ever since I was like 14.
It's Phantom Menace year. But like we said, every year is really Phantom Menace year. But this year is really Phantom Menace year because it is, as everyone knows, the 25th anniversary of Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace. And what better way to celebrate it early a little bit with Pod Race Month here in March? Why not?
Yeah, we are going to do everything in our power to fill a month with Pod Race goodness. Can it be done? I don't know, but we're going to try as hard and fast as we can.
We can guarantee to everyone 3 episodes in the month of Pod Race Month. Will there be a 4th one? Don't know. We'll see. We'll wait and see.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, pod racers move very quickly. So 4 months of normal speed episodes when you're going at pod race speeds might end up only being 3.
It's very fast. It's very dangerous.
Yeah. On Malastare, they only have 3 weeks in each month.
Keep that in mind, everyone. If there's no fourth episode in Pod Race Month, maybe we're on Malastare doing all these episodes.
Yeah.
But no, this is not the last Phantom Menace thing coming this year. You can expect more Phantom Menace madness coming in 2024 here.
Because, yeah, can you believe that it's coming back out in theaters and we haven't even talked about it on the show yet? That's how busy we've been. We've been going over here, going to this place, going to that place, watching shows. We haven't even talked about the fact that Phantom Menace is coming back into theaters in May.
It's kind of crazy. It's wonderful, but it's kind of crazy. And it's extra strange because it's like, I'm so happy it's coming back, but it is so just weird that, like, of all the Star Wars movies to get re-released, like, Phantom Menace got re-released once before. Like, we got the 3D re-release, which was awesome, and now we're getting a 25th anniversary re-release, which is really, it's like it's all just for me and you, where it's like, who's the most excited to see Phantom Menace again? Let's just give those guys, we'll give them a break. They heard you only need to see it three more times to get 40.
Two more.
Oh, two more. See?
Yeah, that's selfishly, I'm very excited because, yeah, I'm with the 3D release all those years ago. 3D release, I hit 38, so I only need two more times. So I will top it off that night, the night it comes out. I'll go see it twice in a row because, of course, I'm excited about it because it's Phantom Menace back on the big screen, and I'll never get tired of watching that movie. And it's almost like the revenge of the Phantom Menace too, because I love it when they got announced like that Saturday. That's like, it's coming back out for the 25th anniversary. There were people like, oh, get ready to get disappointed again. And people like, oh, it's not actually a good movie, you know? And it's like, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up. Because it's going to be us, and it's going to be people in their 20s who we've seen it with our own eyes at Star Wars Celebration. It's the prequel generation that have grown up. That is their A New Hope. It is going to be shocking, I think, for some people. It's not going to be like the 3D release all over again, which we can admit the 3D release was a little sad. It kind of bummed me out because I went to like the midnight show and there were not a lot of people there. And I was like, I love this movie. I'm having a great time. I don't care if I'm the only person at this party. But I don't think it's going to be like that this time.
No, I think it'll be different. Also, you know, it was like combining two things that not everybody is super into, which was Phantom Menace and 3D movies, because it was kind of like towards the end of when people other than maybe me liked 3D movies. So it was like, yeah. So now it's just coming out normal and... Yeah, I think you're right that there's a lot of people who were maybe not quite old enough to take themselves to the theater last time that are going to take themselves. And I don't know. I guess even if it's not a huge hit, it still makes me happy that it's like the spirit of George Lucas, even though he's not dead, but like his spirit coming out of the grave and like, I'm just going to keep re-releasing Phantom Menace because I like this movie and I don't care if you like it or not. It's just going to keep coming back for the people that do love it.
It's like at the Phantom Menace panel at Celebration Chicago in the back of the restaurant. If you're at this panel, then you love Phantom Menace and I love you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was actually what he said. Yeah. It sounds like something we'd say. But he's like, no, I love all of you because you're here. It's my favorite movie I've ever done.
And maybe somewhere in the clause is when he sold it to Disney was like, I'm going to sell you all this stuff, but you have to re-release Phantom Menace every 10 years for eternity.
Well, you know, when I say too that like the prequel generation is going to be there, which I know they will show up for this because I was reading lots of people saying like, I've gotten into Star Wars in the past 10 years, which totally makes sense. And they're like, I've never seen the Phantom Menace in the movie theater. It's like what people were saying when Return of the Jedi came back out last year. But I think also there's going to be a lot of younger kids who don't give a crap about like, get ready to get disappointed and all that stuff. There's going to be little kids who maybe watch the movie on Disney Plus or something, but it's just great because Phantom Menace is a movie like any Star Wars movie, but that should be watched on the big screen in a group setting with loud sound. I love that it's coming back out for the 25th anniversary. And I can't wait to sit there and watch
that beautiful, beautiful movie. Jam the doors all night.
Just ask the manager to turn it up as loud as it'll go. Just whenever Panak is on screen. Then you can turn it down in between. But whenever Panak is on screen, turn it up a couple notches.
Panaka.
Rick Olley's going to be back on the big screen.
Oh, man.
And think about this. This is the first time a big release of Phantom Menace is going to come out with a digital Yoda, not in 3D. Because I know there was like there were 2D showings of Phantom Menace when it came out, but I don't think it played in 2D at all around me. Or maybe I wasn't paying attention. I don't know.
No, I feel like you had to go to like a pretty small theater that just had no way to show it 3D for them to show it in 2D. Because I don't think any of the theaters around me that had the capability to show it in 3D were showing it in 2D. Or you just had to go and have your glasses on and just keep one eye closed. like you're a pirate or something.
It'd be great if they brought back the funky puppet Yoda from the original version of Phantom Menace. But you know what? It's coming back out into theaters. I don't want to start making demands.
But yeah, it would be fun if they just randomly, some theaters got the puppet and some theaters got the digital version of Yoda. You got to collect them all. Just keep going until you see the other version. Just release it on 70mm, and 70mm has the puppet, and all the other screenings have the digital one.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of Phantom Menace coming this year, and like we said, this month is dedicated to one of our favorite moments in the Phantom Menace, the pod race. And of course, we're starting it out with the sound of the pod race. And you may be saying, well, Blast Points, back in 2019, in episode 157, you already did the sound of the Phantom Menace. It's true, but we had a lot of ground to cover in that episode. There's a lot of amazing stuff in the Phantom Menace from an audio perspective. And in this episode, we're just focusing in, like a midichlorian count, zooming in on the sound of the pod race, because it really is in J.W. Rinzler's incredible Sounds of Star Wars book. He says that the pod race is perhaps Ben Burtt's greatest achievement in sound. And I don't think that's an exaggeration. I really think that's true.
No, it really is. And, you know, the pod race itself, we've talked about this a million times, is like a mini Star Wars movie inside of another Star Wars movie. And it's a mini Star Wars movie that Ben Burtt had a huge input in making this little mini Star Wars movie, as we'll get into. And yeah, I agree. I don't think it's an exaggeration either that like if space aliens came and like we heard about this Ben Burtt dude, tell us about Ben Burtt, you know, it's like, okay, just sit down and watch the pod race and you'll understand.
It's his greatest achievement in sound because it's a moment. There's no score. It's almost like an animated film at that point because you've got little Jake Lloyd, which is just about the only real thing on screen, except for some of the backgrounds, maybe. It's like you said, it's a mini movie inside the movie where the sound is telling the story. The sound is telling you everything you need to know in that moment. You know who Sebulba is and all about his character just from the sound of the engine of his pod racer.
Well, and I would go so far as to say that the pod race even works with your eyes closed, even without the incredible visuals, right? Like, it's not only do you know who Sebulba is, you kind of get a feel for everyone and you can kind of keep track of everyone in the race just by how they sound.
Yeah, which, getting ready for this episode, I did it. And I was just like, this is nuts. It's so wild. If you just close your eyes and listen to it from a purely audio perspective, it really, yeah, it is an insane achievement in sound on every level. But before we get started in all that insanity, let's talk about the pod race, why we love it. Let's go back in time. Gabe, can you remember May 1999, sitting in the theater,
what you were thinking of the pod race. Everybody listening knows what me and my whole thing with the pod race, which actually people always like to talk about, like, oh, you took your shirt off during the pod race. It wasn't the pod race. It was way before the pod race. It was before Qui-Gon made the deal with the chance cubes of Watto. That's when I lost my mind. So it wasn't during the pod race, but whatever. That's not related.
You had read the annotated screenplay beforehand, so you knew it was coming. Your body knew it had to get ready. It had to burn off some excess heat before the pod race came.
And it's a true fact. Yeah, I read that the Phantom Menace, the illustrated screenplay, and I sat on my couch and read it from front to back. And I think I called you and said, "This is going to be the greatest movie of all time." Yeah. And I still stand by that. So
yeah. I remember, the first time was like this. I knew that it was coming, and I just remember it being like, this is kind of crazy. This is insane. This is super action-packed. But I think the thing for me with the pod race is it's the part of the movie that has grown on me the most over time. So it's like, regardless of even like how I felt the first time I saw it, it's like, it's the part of the movie that makes me want to rewatch Phantom Menace the most, and the part that I enjoy the most every time I rewatch Phantom Menace. And I think it's because it's so tied to the parts of Phantom Menace that I enjoy so much. The fact that it's very, very Star Wars while being very, very different than every other Star Wars. And the fact that the pod race is like, it's not a spaceship fight. It's not a war, or it's literally weird aliens in a street race, is the part that just makes it so much fun to revisit. And maybe at the time when Phantom Menace came out, there was like a part of me that was like, oh, this is cool, but like, when are we going to see Star Wars, you know, space battles and spaceships and things again? And after getting more of that in the prequels and then in the sequels, it's like there's something just extra cool and exciting about going back to just how much fun the pod race is and how far away from like a war in the stars it is, while still like feeling like the hyperspeed moments of, you know, them going into hyperspace or the speeder bike chase or the trench run in A New Hope, like, you know, that essence is there, but it's like, really, it's like the space version of the end of American Graffiti.
And I remember seeing it in like that very first teaser trailer. You see kind of like Gungans coming out of the mist, and you see Amidala's ship parked and stuff like that. But the pod race is what really kind of kicks off that trailer. And that, and like you said too, it's always just been something I loved about Phantom Menace, that like right smack dab in the middle of the movie, there's this outrageous scene of just George Lucas doing the ultimate George Lucas moment, where it's like, yeah, it's a drag race in space with a little kid winning against this little green booger alien.
Well, it's like, hey, there's this movie called Ben-Hur, and it's got this big chariot race in it, and it's pretty cool. But what if that was, aliens with rockets and a little kid and, a bunch of the most ridiculous looking aliens, like aliens that don't even look like they would be able to race stuff. They're just wacky and goofy. And I don't know. It's like pure, unfiltered George Lucas Star Wars. It's like, it makes no apologies for what it is, because it's like 10 minutes, 15 minutes long too. Like, it's, some people just can't handle it because they're like, it's too long. But it's like, that's what's so cool about it. It's just so outrageous.
And I think of in the beginning with those walls of storyboards with the real, 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 not so real, 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 real. You just imagine George Lucas just saying, in the middle of the movie is going to be a pod race. And it's like, there's no way to do that. That's like what John Knoll says. Like,
now we don't have a real good way of doing that right now. So that's where some real innovation.
Yeah, I know, that is the challenge.
Though. Exactly. I mean,
that's the set piece.
Yeah.
The whole thing is, how are you going to top the pod race? Yeah, because it's pretty intense. I'll be exhausted by the time they end the pod race. I'll be ready to go home. But the thing is that we can top the pod race with this incredible Jedi battle that we've always heard about in the last three movies but never really got to see. And then that with Anakin, you know, kind of duplicating the Luke Skywalker role, but you see the echo of where it all is going to go. And instead of destroying the Death Star, he destroys the ship that controls the robots. Again, it's like poetry. It's sort of, they rhyme. Every stanza kind of rhymes with the last one. Hopefully it'll work.
Kind of that's the exciting thing about The Phantom Menace, where it's and you put it on Disney Plus, and like in a couple months when we all watch it in the movie theater, the pod race still looks incredible. It has not aged like a lot of movies from 1999 have. It looks, I still don't really know how they did it. Like, there's documentaries and there's commentaries and there's articles written and stuff, but it's still just movie magic. I don't really know what I'm looking at any given time.
Well, and that's the cool thing, too, is originally, I think for a good portion of filming, like, the plan was they were going to do it like, I think, like Return of the Jedi. Like, they were going to have someone go out and film footage of flying through desert areas and canyons and things. And they were going to superimpose the pod race over that, like kind of they did with Return of the Jedi. And at some point, I think John Nolan, ILM, was like, hey, I think we can just do this all digital. And they did. And yeah, I think there's photography mixed in, but I don't think any of the pod race is real stuff. I mean, there's miniatures. Yeah, it's movie magic through and through. You need a highlighter when you're watching it to maybe figure out what's real and not real. Because I'm still, to this day, it blows my mind, like when Sebulba crashes at the end, that's, I'm pretty sure, a miniature Sebulba pod race cockpit thing crashing in some sand, but with a little CG Sebulba superimposed into it, like, blows your mind.
And it goes back to George Lucas's not secret at all love of speed and racing. His student films, THX-1138 has a totally random car chase scene at the end that, when they did the THX-1138 special edition, got even crazier, which I remember, well, I got to see that in the theater and I was just like, of course you did. And of, like, you know, and American Graffiti, and you think of the trench run at the end of Star Wars, the truck chase in Raiders of the Lost Ark, the mine car chase in Temple of Doom, the motorcycle chase in Last Crusade, you know, the jungle in King with a Crystal Skull. Chases, 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 fast, fast, fast. That's what George Lucas loves. And you had in the pod race Ben Burtt's new expanded role with making the prequels, where he wasn't just a sound designer, he was a picture editor. Part of the reason why I think the pod race is such an audio-visual extravaganza, it's editing, it's sound, it's all working together.
Yeah, and that's where it really does feel like it's like everything about Star Wars, or almost everything about Star Wars, condensed into just a small little moment, because it's Star Wars without John Williams, which is weird to think about even that as a thing. But this kind of, you know, for the pod race, maybe gives you a glimpse that as much as John Williams is such a huge part of Star Wars is still Star Wars even without John Williams. And the pod race kind of shows just, you know, how deep the Star Warsness goes in Star Wars, that that you could just Lucas and Ben Burtt kind of cutting loose on a sequence with just sound and visuals is like, you know, I guess it's almost like the, you know, the John Williams music is kind of what softens the craziness a little bit, which maybe makes this part even more intense for people, because there isn't the John Williams music to kind of like calm them down. Like, it's just, yeah, Star Wars madness injected right into your eyes and ears with no filter, no John Williams.
It's my favorite Bee Gees song, How Deep Is Your Star Wars?
Yeah.
So there's a great quote in the amazing Sounds of Star Wars book from Ben Burtt, where he says the pod race
it's probably where I spent the most effort 2 years to put that sequence together, both visually and orally. I came on to do my role again as sound designer, and then I had a chance to be one of the picture editors. So I really had a wonderful opportunity to spearhead both groups with a lot of help from expert people to be able to follow through on all the picture cutting while developing sound along the way. Worked out pretty well. And then Matt Wood goes on to say, they gave us a whole lap of the pod race that had no music. It was basically us building in all the sound effects. So we really spent a lot of time on that. We spent a good year just working on the pod race. And since Ben was the picture editor of it as well, we really got to tailor it. That's just amazing. It dissolved that wall between those two storytelling disciplines of, you know, that in the past were just two separate things.
Well, and they still, in a lot of cases, I think they still are, where, you know, there's visuals and then at the end, at the last minute, they give it to audio to kind of, well, fill in the movie here with, put some sounds in this now. And I got to think it's infrequent where a sound decision makes them re-edit the visuals. And here's a sequence where kind of all the way through it is like the sound and visuals are hand in hand doing their thing, and if one needs to dictate the other, they were able to do it.
There was a great article on Slash Film in 2022 from Whitney Siebold, who talked to Ben Burtt kind of about his new role on The Phantom Menace, how it related to the pod race, him talking about like his animatics and videomatics that are all over a lot of those documentaries.
Yeah, he goes on to say, George called me up to his office and said he had a sequence that he wanted to try to develop as a videomatic. And this was a year or so before filming. It was the pod race. And he mentions how one of the things he specialized in Young Indiana Jones was setting up kind of videomatics of action sequences out of stock footage or animation or little models that they would work with ourselves on sticks or planes. And he would cut together a sequence kind of as a living storyboard, he called it. And it sounds like for the pod race that he just kind of went nuts. He says he'd pull shots from various videos and sources and piece them together. He said he got a 1 or 2 page document which described essentially who was in the race and what the outcome was supposed to be. He said he used his son Benny sitting in a big laundry bucket and blew a leaf blower on him to get to make it look like his hair was blowing in the wind, and put him in front of a screen, like a front projection screen, so it looked like he was zooming along.
Lucasfilm, you've got this footage. Benny Burtt sitting in a laundry basket with his father blowing a leaf blower on his face.
Yeah, and he says he took 1 or 2 of his friends, put alien masks on them, just rubber masks, Halloween sort of aliens, it says, and made them into other pod racers. And he goes on to say, I don't remember the exact timetable, but I came up with maybe a 25-minute long race.
Good Lord.
And it had just about every possible interesting crash and thing I could imagine in it. Yeah. So somewhere there's a 25-minute long animatic of little Benny Burtt as Anakin racing his friends in rubber masks with stock footage. I mean, I think they've shown a few seconds of that in a couple of the documentaries.
Yeah, there's a picture of it in the giant Paul Duncan Star Wars Archives book. And there's a little bit. I feel like I've seen him in like goggles, moving gears with like this projected thing behind him. But I would pay $100 to watch that in a movie theater. If it was just like, sir, you do know you're paying $100 just to see 25 minutes of a little kid getting a leaf blower blown on his face with people in Halloween masks chasing him, I'd be like, this is history. This is important.
Yeah. If I pay $200, can I watch it twice?
I'm not watching this just once. I'm going to be back for the second show.
Yeah.
The pod pod race started out as a collection of shots of every racing object I could find. Some of it was, you know, racing footage of cars. Some of it was shots I made myself of my son with an alien mask on looking like Sebulba. And then eventually we had our animatic department do the task of creating actual shots.
Experience the spectacle. Feel the excitement. Share the fun. Take the journey. All over again. Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, rated PG.
So here's the deal, folks. We're going to listen to the pod race because it's an amazing experience. If you're driving, don't close your eyes. If you're at work, you also probably don't want to close your eyes because you don't want your boss to catch you just standing there with your eyes closed. Or maybe you do. I don't know. But if you're at home, you're listening, or if you're going around, just go with the flow. Trust us. Trust your feelings. And just take this in as an audio experience. But let's get weird. So what we're going to do here, folks, is we are going to break it down lap by lap, highlight some of the stuff in the Incredible Sounds of Star Wars books, which we say for every one of these. If you don't have it, you should get it. Written by J.W. Rinzler and Ben Burtt. It's the best. One of the best Star Wars books ever made.
It's the only Star Wars book. Well, one of the only Star Wars books you can listen to with headphones. It may be the only one, but, you know, Star Wars books get weird, so there might be another one or two that have headphones, but this might be the only one.
So let's start out where we're going to listen to the pre-race, because there's a lot of stuff going on in the pre-race. So here we go. Let's spotlight on the pre-race right now.
Start your engines!
Something I love in that moment, the Sebulba, the boom, 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 just building tension. It's just so cool.
Well, and it's neat too of like, you know, there's the whole slow pan of all the racers, and visually you kind of get a feel for like, oh, everyone's pod looks a little different. Oh, look at all these wacky aliens. But you also kind of get a taste of what the racer sounds like so that you can recognize the sounds later on, which is really neat. And you can't not love that the race starts with what's almost a fart sound. Jabba the Hutt's so gross when he spits, it sounds like a fart.
So what does the book have to say? Well, what are we hearing in the pre-race?
Well, going back to the book, they kind of go into what some of the engine sounds were based on. Matt Wood talks about recording Porsches for the sound of Anakin's pod racer. Sebulba's pod was a combination of a P-51 Mustang, slowed down, combined with a lot of sound sourced from a cigarette boat. And they talk about two tools that
sound was something called the Kaima and a wavetable chopper. And the book says the Kaima is a sound synthesizer with many capabilities, and Bert constructed a circuit in it that would listen to a sound and generate an oscillator tone that would align its pitch to the sound. And then a wave chopper kind of takes a sound and splits it into smaller sounds to add kind of a stuttering or jittering effect to a sound.
A film such as Star Wars, the soundtrack is completely fabricated in the studio. All of the sound effects you hear in the film are added later. Everything from footsteps to cloth rustle to the handling of props to the sound of vehicles, weapons, aliens, and exploding Death Stars. Those are all things which didn't exist at the time of shooting. They had to be manufactured after the fact. And, of course, the music wasn't there during the original shooting. So all the elements which go into the final soundtrack, there's thousands of them, really. And to keep track of it all, one has to come up with a system of identifying each sound, of giving it a name, giving it a description. And so as a sound designer, one of the things you do is to collect a lot of sound, categorize it, and you keep tapes on your shelf or nowadays sound stored on a computer disk. And it's very much like an encyclopedia. You have hundreds and hundreds of sounds. I think I have 6,000 tapes in say, accumulated over 12 years of just sound design work. And that is a result of going out and recording lots of material, animals, aircraft carriers, jets, appliance motors, whatever it might be, bringing them back, and you need to actually select from those tapes the things you find the most interesting.
So it's kind of, yeah, it's just amazing when you think about like the time to come up with the idea of what you want, to capture all the reference and pieces to have, to piece those pieces together, and then ultimately combine them in this sound collage and mix their volumes and locations and sync them up to the action on screen. It makes sense that they worked on it for over a year. Well, there's a great line in here too of Ben Burtt talking about the thought process of the pod racer sounds. And he says how I definitely tried to give each vehicle a personality. I considered the pilot of the craft and whether I wanted the audience to like or fear a certain ship or character. A pod sound can be powerful, angry, comical, smooth, cool, hip, old-fashioned, goofy, or dangerous.
Everything he said, too, that's kind of Star Wars.
Yeah, that's like if you have to describe Star Wars in one sentence. It's powerful, angry, comical, smooth, cool, hip, old-fashioned, goofy, and dangerous.
Sounds right to me.
Yeah.
So are we ready to move on and just listen to lap one of the pod race?
Let's do it.
Here we go.
Oh, no! Oh, wait, little Skywalker is stalled. Chupa! Well, it looks like Quadraneros is having engine trouble also.
He's the Waka!
Come on, Eddie!
And there goes Skywalker.
Go, Eddie, go!
He'll be hard-pressed to catch up with the leaders.
Oh,
like a few Tusken Raiders are camped out on the canyon dune turn. Ooh, there goes Quadronero's power coupling.
Look, here he comes.
It looks like Skywalker's moving up the field.
I would say this is where things get really hot.
There is so much stuff packed into that one lap. It's kind of insane. Because there's all the Quadronero stuff, the Odie Mandrell stuff, the guy I always forget his name who explodes in the cave, that guy, and then yeah, all the regular race sounds of the pods, the Tusken Raiders. There's so much stuff packed into that one lap.
So in the book, there's the isolated thing of pod racers fly by, which is always great to listen to. Still, Sebulba's pod, that P-51 Mustang, one of my favorite Star Wars sound effects ever in the world. Because isn't the whole thing, too, and we'll hear this more in the next lap, that they say that after each time the announcers, Fode and Bede, speak, the pod race keeps getting louder?
I think so, or each lap kind of slowly gets louder and louder. They do give you a nice isolated sound of the Tusken Raiders shooting at the pods.
Looks like a few Tusken Raiders are camped out on the canyon dune turn.
I never get tired of the Tusken Raiders sound during that moment. But we got to move on to lap two, right?
Yeah, and one thing I never really noticed watching the movie, but listening to it and kind of looking in the sound, like what was each lap? The pod race, like lots of Star Wars, plays wild and loose with time. And lap two is significantly shorter than lap one and lap three. But you never really notice it when you're watching.
Just don't think about it too much. Just don't. It's space fantasy. Space fantasy, folks. So here we go. Lap two.
He has to complete two more circuits.
Yeah.
Spinning out of control.
gotta hurt.
That's the one where I get lost in. Whereas there are times where I'm like, it's just, I don't know what I'm actually listening to.
I think Lab 2 has like, is more, there's more chaos going on. Yeah, it's, I mean, there is a Sebulba throwing the wrench and the roar guy.
There's not info on Sebulba throwing the wrench, but there is the isolated sound.
One of my all-time favorite Star Wars alien voice sounds is just that guy going, "Rawr!" When Anakin's pod spinning and he's got to like fix it, there's some really cool beeps and bloops of the it being repaired and the gauges and things making cool sounds. Yeah, it's like we're only in lap two, and I feel like there's already been as many sounds as like a normal movie, the whole movie, and it's we're only in lap two. We've already heard thousands of sounds.
It's kind of like all of Star Wars. Like every once in a while, you just kind of got to step back and really either look at or listen to what's happening here, because when you're watching the pod race, you're involved in what's happening. And that's why we keep playing these clips over and over again, because you've got to just kind of step back and listen to this. Listen to the genius of what was going on with this scene.
All right, let's do lap three.
Lap three, here we go.
Here he comes!
At the start of the third and final lap, Sebulba's in the lead, followed closely by Skywalker.
Skywalker's been forced onto the service ramp.
Sepulveda!
Inga Boonga!
Careful, Andy! Careful, Andy!
That end crash, like, montage of sound when Sepulveda crashes and there's like 10 different little sound effects, like just quick cuts.
Let's highlight two things here from Lab 3. There's not a lot of information on it, but Anakin's pod trick is so incredibly cool. It would just play the isolated audio just because it's cool.
It's Skywalker! Amazing! A quick control thrust, and he's back on course!
And then what Rinzler in the book calls pods at end, which this is just still one of the craziest things in the world.
So, yeah, as part of that sound, at the moment at the end of the race when their pods kind of locked together, kind of as a homage to Ben-Hur, there is train couplings, the sound of trains being coupled together, mixed in, which were also heavily used in Temple of Doom in the minecar chase and the truck chase in Raiders.
Book says the train couplings is one of Ben Burtt's favorite sounds, which of course it is.
The classic sounds of train couplings. So one thing I was thinking about, is that exactly the same music from R2 Saves the Day at the beginning of the movie when they're escaping Naboo?
Oh my God.
Because it's the same music. Musically, it's the same. But is it actually that clip from earlier in the movie? Like, they originally had the pod race with no music, and then they decided, well, let's put some music in the last lap, and they just reused the section from when R2 saves the day.
There's the blockade. Shield generator's been hit!
Skywalker's in trouble! Sepulveda takes the lead!
I've never thought about that at all. Honestly, I've never even picked up on it. It's not like the droid factory from Attack of the Clones, where it's like, oh, you know, this music, but never thought about that at all.
Because it is like there's no music, the music comes in, then the music goes away, and then the music comes back after the race. Like, the climax of the race is no music. So, and they kind of ended up doing that in Attack of the Clones, where, you know, the asteroid chase was kind of another pod race section, but by the end, they felt the need to kind of, you know, bring the music in to kind of give it a climax. So, I don't know.
Well, kind of closing things out, the pod race is showing off the genius that was going on with the prequels, bringing George Lucas's crazy ideas on the screen any way possible. The pod race is the example of that.
Well, it's just two really wacky, goofy dudes who are on the same wavelength, just, I don't know, like egging each other on or riffing off each other of like, hey, let's make this crazy alien race, chariot race. And Ben Burtt coming in and making it happen. And I'm sure giving as many ideas as he got from George, and the two of them just making this really, at this point, classic sequence, you know, in the history of movies. Like, it's right, it's up there with the chariot race and Ben-Hur. It's iconic.
I cannot wait to see it on a big screen again in just a couple months.
Yeah, the idea of seeing, even if I couldn't see the rest of Phantom Menace in the theater, and we've joked about this lots of times, like, they can just re-release the pod race and I would go see it. It's Pod Race Thursdays. You pay $10 and you can watch the pod race in a movie theater. Let's do it.
How many tickets can I buy? It's 50 minutes? Though after this episode, some people will be like, I don't ever want to hear that ever again.
But we like what we like. We can't help it. We like the pod race.
Control of a pod racer and hang on for the race of your life. You're Anakin Skywalker or Sebulba in a heart-pounding race for survival. Scream through Beggar's Canyon at 600 miles per hour. You better make that turn, because victory tastes a whole lot better than dirt. Have you experienced Star Wars? Pod Racer, each sold separately. It's your universe.
And these last points, too accurate for sand people. Only Imperial stormtroopers are so precise.
Guess what? Apple Podcast Reviews. If you are listening to this on something Apple, go over there, write something nice so more people can find Blast Points when they're looking for Star Wars podcasts. And if you listen on Spotify, you just leave 5 stars over there. Then I think it works the same way. I really don't know.
Yeah, just type pod race and then put 5 stars. That's all you need to say.
Message received.
And after that, make sure you check out our website, blastpointspodcast.com. And follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And if you're on Facebook, make sure you are part of the Blast Points Super Chill group.
And we have got the Blast Points Army on Patreon, where for as little as $2, right, I think?
Yeah.
You can hear our Bad Batch recap episodes, starting with, I think by the time you're listening to this, our recap for Season 3, Episode 4, A Different Approach, is out there. What are we saying about that? What are we going to be saying about the next one? That's all happening over there on the Blast Points Army. And if you are a member of the Blast Points Army on Patreon, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you all so much for your support over there. But guess what? Next week, folks, we're going to be talking about Phantom Menace. We're going to be talking about the pod race.
If you loved this week's episode, congratulations, you are in for a treat. If you hated this week's episode, you might want to go on vacation. because it's going to be a while before you want to listen again.
Things are going to get real wild over here because you're just like, how can you get three, maybe four episodes out of the pod race? We got plans. That's all we're saying.
Don't tell us what we can't do because we're going to do it anyway.
So until then, everyone, thank you all so much for listening. We'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
May the Force be with you. Goodbye, old friend. May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you!